A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
A listener named Marcus James sent us this one, and it's the kind of prompt that makes me want to buy a decibel meter, just to feel something. He's in a Jerusalem apartment next to a construction site. Excavation phase, hydraulic rock breaking, the works. He took measurements with his phone. Outside on the patio, 93 dBA. Inside with the door closed, 68. That's a 25 decibel drop from a modern building envelope, which sounds like a number until you realize it means the jackhammer might as well be in your kitchen.
25 dB of attenuation is actually suspiciously low for what should be a sealed modern apartment. Standard double glazing alone should give you more than that for mid and high frequencies. So right away, Marcus's numbers are telling us something is off, and the frequency spectrum he measured is the key to understanding why. You've got the mass air mass resonance on the low end and the coincidence dip on the high end, and the rock breaker sits right across both.
Cities globally are in a post-pandemic construction boom. More people are working from home, and construction noise has shifted from a daytime nuisance you escape to a chronic stressor that degrades cognitive performance, sleep quality, and cardiovascular health. There's a World Health Organization meta-analysis that linked prolonged exposure to environmental noise above 55 dBA with elevated hypertension risk. Marcus is getting 68 dBA in his living room.
What makes his situation technically fascinating is that he didn't just send us a complaint.
That last one's where it gets interesting. The answer to number 4 is that bone conduction puts a hard floor under what passive protection can do, and the answer to number 5 is a brown noise hack most people have never heard of, which is the most Jerusalem response to noise I can imagine. So let's unpack what those numbers actually mean.
It's not just loud, it's sustained loud in a frequency range human hearing is quite sensitive to. The reason this is a genuinely hard problem is that hydraulic rock breaking produces low-frequency broadband energy, roughly 125 Hz to 2 kHz in Marcus's measurements, which sits right in the frequency range where standard building materials are weakest.
Marcus's spectrogram shows it's not impulsive. The hydraulic breaker is essentially a piston slamming into rock at a few hundred beats per minute, each impact exciting a whole spectrum. Designed by physics, not by malice, but the effect is the same. Every time that breaker hits rock, it's pumping energy into the ground and the air in a spectrum that standard acoustic ratings barely account for.
With sustained broadband, there's no reset. The spectrogram shows energy just sitting there across 125 Hz to 2 kHz, minute after minute. To understand why this noise is so stubborn, we need to start with the physics of how sound moves through glass. The core distinction that structures this whole problem is airborne versus structure. Borne transmission.
It's also the worst profile for building materials. Standard double glazing has two failure modes that bracket this exact band. On the low end, the mass air mass resonance. The two glass panes and the air gap form a spring mass system that resonates, typically between 100 and 250 Hz. At that frequency, the window becomes transparent to sound. Marcus's measurements give us clues about which path is dominant. The fact that his indoor noise is steady state during active drilling, rather than fluctuating with wind or equipment position, already hints at structure-borne contribution.
On the high end, the coincidence dip. At a certain frequency, the wavelength of sound in air matches the bending wavelength in the glass. The pane couples efficiently with the sound wave and radiates it into the room. The first thing to establish is what his existing windows are actually achieving and why that number, around 25 dB overall, feels so much worse than the STC rating stamped on the glass would suggest. STC, sound transmission class, is the standard rating for how well a building partition blocks sound.
The window is failing in two different ways, at two different parts of the spectrum, with no safe band between them, which would lead you to expect roughly 30 dB of attenuation. Marcus is getting 25. That gap between expectation and reality is where the physics lives. But the Rock Breaker spans the gap between those two failure patterns.
It was developed for rating interior walls and office partitions, not for evaluating how a window handles a jackhammer. At the low end, 125 Hz, 250 Hz, that same STC32 window might only be providing 12 to 18 dB of actual attenuation.
The frequency profile gives us clues. Structure-borne transmission tends to be strongest below 100 Hz, where the building's structural resonances live. You'd feel it in your feet. There's a better metric for this, and it's called OITC, Outdoor, Indoor Transmission Class. OITC was developed specifically for transportation and construction noise. It weights low frequencies more heavily, from 80 Hz up to 4 kHz. A window that scores STC32 might only score OITC 26 or lower. For construction noise, OITC is the number that actually correlates with what your ears are telling you, and almost no residential building code requires OITC ratings.
It also means we can frame everything around the window rather than chasing structural isolation, which is vastly more expensive. Now let's go deeper into why low frequencies are so hard to block. The fundamental principle is the mass law. For a single layer barrier like a pane of glass, every time you double the mass, you get about 6 dB of additional attenuation. So if a 4mm pane gives you 20 dB at a given frequency, an 8mm pane gives you 26. A 16mm pane gives you 32.
The thread running through all of it is that 125 Hz to 2 kHz band. Every recommendation traces back to why that band defeats standard solutions. It gets worse. At a certain frequency, every glass pane has what's called a coincidence dip.
Let's start with the attenuation estimate. That 25.2 decibel number Marcus got, 93.2 outside minus 68 inside, is not the window's STC rating. It's a field measurement taken during active drilling, and it includes everything between the patio and the living room. This is why laminated glass matters so much for construction noise. Laminated glass has a PVB interlayer, polyvinyl butyrol, sandwiched between two glass sheets. That plastic layer is viscoelastic. It damps vibration.
STC is elaborating measured under very specific conditions. Controlled source spectrum, reverberant rooms, flanking paths sealed. Marcus measured real life, which is messier. So what's the actual window-only attenuation likely to be?
The interlayer isn't about adding mass, it's about adding damping. Different mechanism, different benefit. The field number is lower than the window's actual performance because the room absorbs some sound, which reduces the indoor level and makes the window look better than it is. But flanking paths through the wall and ceiling add sound inside, which makes the window look worse. Those two effects partially cancel, but the net is that field attenuation usually understates the window's lab, STC, by about 3 to 5 decibels.
A 12mm gap puts resonance around 250 Hz. A 4-inch gap pushes it below 100 Hz, below the most annoying part of the jackhammer spectrum. Most residential glazing here is 4 or 6mm float glass in aluminum frames, maybe a 12 to 16mm air gap. No lamination, no gas fill. It's a thermal window, not an acoustic one.
People assume more panes equals more blocking. But for low frequencies, the gap width and the damping matter more than the pane count. To hit STC 40, you need about 25 kilograms per square meter, roughly 10 millimeters of monolithic glass, or a laminated equivalent. Marcus's windows are probably less than half that mass per pane.
If the hydraulic breaker is vibrating the bedrock, those vibrations travel through the ground into the building foundation, up through the structural frame, and into the walls and floors of Marcus's apartment. The walls then act like giant speaker cones, re-radiating the noise into the room.
This is the coincidence dip phenomenon, and it's the most counterintuitive thing in glazing acoustics. At the coincidence frequency, the pane couples with the sound wave and basically becomes a loudspeaker. There's a simple diagnostic Marcus can do. If the noise level is roughly the same in every room, including rooms that don't face the construction site, structure-borne transmission is dominant.
Which is why 10mm monolithic glass can be outperformed by 6mm laminated glass at 2 kHz. The thicker monolithic pane has a lower coincidence, frequency, and a deeper dip because there's no damping layer. Laminated glass has a PVB interlayer that dissipates energy through shear deformation, reducing the dip by 3 to 5 decibels. More mass isn't always better if you're buying it in the wrong configuration.
Now, the airborne versus structure-borne diagnosis. The evidence strongly points to airborne transmission as the dominant path. First, the frequency profile, energy concentrated above 125 Hz. Structure-borne transmission peaks below 100 Hz, where you'd feel vibration in the floor and walls. Marcus didn't report feeling vibration.
Second, the mass-air-mass resonance of standard double glazing falls between 100-250 Hz, exactly where Marcus's noise profile starts. If the window is resonating sympathetically with the noise, that's airborne coupling. Structure-borne transmission wouldn't show that same alignment with the window's acoustic properties.
Third, the coincidence dip alignment. The rockbreaker's upper band reaches 2 kHz, overlapping the coincidence region for 6 mm glass. Again, an airborne coupling mechanism. If the dominant path were structure-borne, the window's acoustic properties would be largely irrelevant. The sound would be generated by the walls and ceiling vibrating independently.
Marcus can be cautiously optimistic. Airborne transmission is solvable with glazing upgrades. Structure-borne would mean floating floors, resilient channels, decoupling the entire room, orders of magnitude more expensive. The frequency profile gives a clear signal that the window is the weak link.
Below about 200 Hz, you don't just hear the sound. You feel it in your chest, in your bones. That visceral component triggers a stress response that higher frequency noise at the same dBA doesn't. Below 125 Hz, you're below the mass-air-mass resonance, and transmission loss improves as stiffness dominates. Above 2 kHz, you're above the coincidence dip, and the mass law kicks in. But in between, you've got the resonance trough on one end and the coincidence dip on the other. The window's transmission loss is at its minimum across that entire band.
It's a valley. The transmission loss curve looks like a U, high at very low frequencies, dropping into the mass-air-mass resonance, recovering slightly, then dipping again at coincidence, then climbing. Marcus's rock breaker is pouring energy into the bottom of that U for hours at a time.
That low-frequency emphasis makes it more effective at covering up the specific frequencies of a jackhammer. And the reason masking works isn't just about drowning out the noise.
The number stamped on every acoustic window brochure. For construction noise, it's borderline misleading.
The same jackhammer against a background of brown noise is less salient to your auditory system, which reduces the stress response even if the objective level hasn't changed much. A window can score STC-48 by blocking high frequencies really well, while leaking like a sieve at 200 Hz. I've seen windows with STC-48 that have an OITC of 32, a 16 decibel gap. You're paying for a number that doesn't describe the noise you actually have.
What's the honest metric?
The physics is on his side if he understands it. If a manufacturer can't give you the OITC rating, they're either hiding something or they don't know it, and neither is good.
What glazing configuration actually hits OITC 35 plus across 125 Hz to 2 kHz?
Triple glazing with asymmetric pane thicknesses. If all three panes are the same thickness, they all have the same coincidence dip at the same frequency, and you've just spent more money to fail in the same way. What you want is something like 6 mm laminated for the outer pane, a 12 mm air gap, 10 mm laminated in the middle, another 12 mm gap, and 6 mm laminated for the inner pane. That's impressive. The PVB interlayer shears when the glass tries to vibrate at the coincidence frequency, dissipating energy as heat. We've laid out the physics. But Marcus's core question is really, what do his actual numbers mean? He measured 93 dBA outside and 68 inside. That 25 dB drop, that's the combined attenuation of his entire building envelope. Windows, walls, floor, ceiling, air gaps around the door frame, everything. And 25 dB is not great. It's the acoustic equivalent of a sieve.
The reason it's confusing is that if you look at the window spec sheet, assuming standard Israeli double glazing, 4 mm glass, 12 mm air gap, 4 mm glass, you'd expect STC somewhere around 30.
You've pushed the mass-air-mass resonances around too. With two air gaps of different widths, you get two different resonance frequencies instead of one. Neither lands in the 125 Hz to 2 kHz band if you spec it right. A properly designed asymmetric triple glazed unit with laminated glass can hit STC 45 to 50 and OITC 35 to 40. This is why I keep coming back to OITC. A window that scores STC 32 might score OITC 26. For construction noise, OITC is the number that correlates with what your ears are telling you.
That's a full window replacement. What if Marcus is renting or doesn't have the budget to rip out his existing windows?
You install a second window, a separate frame with its own glazing, inside the existing window, leaving an air gap of 100 to 200 millimeters. That large gap is crucial. It creates a mass, spring mass system, where the two windows are the masses and the air between them is the spring. With a 150 millimeter gap, the resonance frequency drops to about 50 to 80 hertz below the rock breaker's energy band entirely.
The whole problem band is above the resonance, in the attenuation region.
And most people skip that step and go straight to window shopping. And it costs 40 to 60% less than a full window replacement because you're not demolishing anything.
Second is the dominant path airborne through the glass or structure, borne through the building frame. Third, if he does need new glazing, what's the best-in-class specification for this exact noise profile?
Compression seals all around, and the secondary frame must be decoupled from the primary frame. No rigid connections that transmit vibration. Done right, secondary glazing is the highest impact per dollar option for airborne construction noise. That's the roadmap, and every answer traces back to the physics we just established. The mass law tells you why thicker glass alone won't save you. The coincidence dip tells you why laminated glass matters.
All right, so we've covered the window. But even with the best glazing, Marcus is still living next to an active excavation site. What about hearing protection while he's figuring out the window situation?
The diagnostic tests Marcus can run are beautifully simple. If he walks to a room on the opposite side of the building, one that doesn't face the construction site at all, and the noise level is basically the same, structure-borne transmission is the dominant path.
Through the skull.
At 250 Hz, even with a theoretically perfect earplug, about 15 decibels of sound reaches the cochlea through the bones of the skull. The sound vibrates your head, and your head vibrates your inner ear directly. No earplug can stop that. This is why you can still feel jackhammering with foam plugs in. You're literally hearing it through your skeleton.
It's a foundation isolation problem, which requires decoupling the building from the bedrock, and that's not something a resident can retrofit.
Before Marcus spends a single shekel on glass, he needs to do those two tests. Different room, different floor, hand on the wall. The answer determines whether the rest of this conversation is about windows or about something much harder. You can put the best foam plugs on the market and then the best earmuffs over them, and you'll only get 3 to 5 decibels more than the plugs alone. Double protection sounds like it should double the attenuation, but it doesn't. You're already up against what your own skull will transmit.
Which means for Marcus, sitting in 68 dBA with earplugs in, the best he can hope for is maybe 48 to 53 dBA at the cochlea. Quieter, but not quiet.
If all three panes are the same thickness, they all share the same coincidence, frequency, and you've created a triple coincidence dip instead of spreading the risk. The configuration I'd spec, 6mm laminated glass with a PVB interlayer on the outer pane, a 12mm argon-filled gap, a 4mm monolithic pane in the middle, another 12mm gap, and 6mm laminated on the interior. Something like the ACS Pro 27 can actually outperform a foam plug rated at NRR 33 in the 125 to 500 Hz range because the fit is more reliable.
What about earmuffs?
Instead of one deep hole at 2.5, you get three shallower dips at different frequencies, and the laminated inner layers damp each one. The total attenuation at any given frequency never falls off a cliff. You're not eliminating the coincidence effect. You're distributing it across the spectrum so no single frequency gets completely through. The combination, asymmetry plus damping, is what gets you to OITC 35 or better.
OITC 35 means what, in terms of what Marcus would actually experience? The bone conduction floor means you're never getting below about 48 dBA at the ear.
And because OITC weights low frequencies properly, that 58 dBA would subjectively feel much less intrusive than the current 68, because the low frequency rumble that's currently shaking his walls would be significantly reduced. The answer is brown noise masking through a subwoofer.
This is not acoustic cancellation. This is psychoacoustic.
It pushes the mass air mass resonance below 100 Hz out of the jackhammer's dominant range, and it decouples the two barriers mechanically. They're mounted on separate frames, so vibration doesn't conduct from one to the other. There was a case study from the Institute of Acoustics, a London apartment adjacent to a Crossrail excavation site, very similar situation to Marcus. Secondary glazing with a 4-inch gap reduced construction noise intrusion by 18 dB.
Whereas white noise is flat, equal energy per hertz, and pink noise is minus 3 decibels per octave. White noise sounds hissy and bright. Brown noise sounds like a deep, heavy waterfall or a distant jet engine.
That rumble overlaps the perceptual space of the rock breaker's low-frequency energy. Now let's talk hearing protection, because Marcus asked specifically about the 125 Hz to 2 kHz range, and this is where most people buy the wrong thing. Standard disposable foam plugs, the kind with an NRR of 33, are actually excellent at high frequencies. Above 1 kHz, they can deliver 25 to 35 dB of attenuation.
You're not making the noise quieter. You're making your brain care less about it.
That distinction matters because it means this actually works, even though the physical sound pressure level in the room hasn't changed. Your auditory system is now processing the construction noise against a background of brown noise occupying the same neural channels, and the salience drops substantially.
The foam plug's uneven response, weak at lows, strong at highs, is actually closer to what you want for a jackhammer than the musician's plug.
The best solution is neither. It's double protection, foam plugs plus earmuffs. The combined NRR is not additive. 33 plus 25 does not equal 58. It follows a logarithmic combination that typically yields around 36 dB effective NRR when both are properly fitted. What makes the combination special is that the two barriers have different resonance frequencies.
This pairs with the earplugs. The earplugs knock down the airborne component by 15 to 20 decibels, taking cochlear exposure from 68 to roughly 48 to 53 dBA, and the brown noise masking raises the hearing threshold for what gets through. You're attacking the problem on both the acoustic path and the perceptual path simultaneously.
If you add all this up for Marcus, the recommendations stack by impact per dollar. Tier 1. Free to nearly free, brown noise masking through a subwoofer, combined with the best earplugs you can get, ideally custom, molded with good low-frequency fit. That dual approach takes the subjective burden from, I can't think in my own home, to, I can hear it, but I can live with it.
Tier 2, the highest impact structural change, secondary glazing with 150 mm plus air gap, and laminated glass on the inner pane. 10 to 15 decibels of real attenuation added to the existing window, bringing indoor levels from 68 to 53 to 58 dBA, costs 40 to 60% less than full window replacement, and is the best engineering match for the 125 Hz to 2 kHz band, because the large air gap pushes the mass spring mass resonance below 80 Hz, out of the problem zone entirely.
Tier 3, if you're replacing windows anyway, specify OITC of 35 or higher, not just STC 45+. Asymmetric triple glazing with laminated panes of different thicknesses. 6mm, 10mm, 6mm, with PVB interlayers throughout. That spreads the coincidence, dips so no single frequency band is exposed, and the lamination damps the dips that remain by 3 to 5 decibels. Second immediate intervention, heavy curtains with mass-loaded vinyl. Mass-loaded vinyl is a dense, flexible sheet material, and you can get curtain liners made from it.
The through line for all of it is managing expectations. The bone conduction floor is the fundamental limit. No passive solution eliminates low-frequency construction noise. The goal is reduction from 68 dBA to 50 to 55 dBA. Not silence. You can make it tolerable. You cannot make it disappear.
The mass-loaded vinyl adds density without stiffness, so it follows the mass law without introducing a coincidence dip of its own. Active noise cancellation for this exact problem. It's theoretically possible. Hydraulic rock breakers have a quasi-periodic pattern, not truly random noise. If a system can predict the next impact cycle, it can generate an anti-phase signal. Prototype systems in labs have hit 10 to 15 decibels of cancellation in the 100 to 300 Hz band, but no consumer product does this yet.
The catch is that quasi-periodic part. Traffic hum is steady state, easy for ANC to lock onto. A rock breaker has a rhythm, but it's irregular. The piston hits, the rock fractures unpredictably, the operator changes angle. The prediction window is tiny, and the error penalty is adding more noise instead of canceling it.
It sounds like a deep waterfall, or heavy rain on a roof. The masking sound needs to have energy in the same frequency bands as the noise you're trying to mask. White noise is flat across the spectrum, so it sounds hissy and bright. It'll mask high-frequency hiss but do nothing for a jackhammer's low-end rumble. Pink noise is better with a -3 dB per octave slope, but brown noise is ideal for this.
Practically, Marcus can get a brown noise track from any streaming service, or use a white noise machine that has a brown noise setting.
The broader point, Marcus's situation isn't unique. Cities everywhere are densifying. Jerusalem is growing fast, construction cycles are accelerating, and the conflict between building the city and living in it is only going to get sharper. Acoustic design isn't a luxury feature. It's a public health intervention hiding in a window specification.
Studies on auditory masking have shown that introducing a consistent background sound can reduce the perceived loudness of intermittent noise by 5 to 10 dB subjectively, even when the objective sound pressure level hasn't changed much. The brain stops flagging the noise as a threat when it's not emerging from silence.
That connects to the fourth actionable category, which is cognitive. The subjective impact of noise isn't just about decibels, it's about predictability and control. Unpredictable noise is significantly more stressful than predictable noise at the same level.
Marcus, thank you for sending this in. It's exactly the kind of question that makes the engineering come alive. A real measurement, a real apartment, and a real person trying to think straight, while a rock breaker rewrites the acoustic properties of his living room.
The button didn't change the noise. It changed the perception of control.
In the 1950s, researchers in Patagonia used photographic plates recovered from a single high-altitude balloon flight to confirm that cosmic ray muons arrive with a flux of roughly 1 per square centimeter per minute at sea level, and those same plates, stored in a Buenos Aires archive, are still used today as a calibration reference for modern detectors.
And during the worst hours, noise-canceling headphones with transparency mode, not for hearing protection, but for listening to podcasts or music at a comfortable level without having to crank the volume to compete with the jackhammer. ANC works by generating an inverted phase signal that destructively interferes with the incoming noise. At low frequencies, the wavelengths are long enough that the system has time to measure, process, and respond.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, and thanks again to Marcus James for the prompt. If you're enjoying the show, leave us a review. It helps other people find us.
So, ANC headphones are accidentally perfect for construction noise. They knock down the low-frequency rumble that passive isolation struggles with, and the foam ear cushions handle the highs.
Combine all four of these, acoustic caulk on the gaps, mass-loaded vinyl curtains with a floor seal, brown noise through a decent speaker, and noise-canceling headphones with transparency mode for focused work, and Marcus could reduce the subjective impact by 30-40% without touching the windows.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.